Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, Lauren L. of the High Desert here. Thank you so much for tuning in. It is currently December 13th. That's a Sunday, 9:30 p.m. Lauren L. of the High Desert.com is brought to you by GrowWithLaurenL.com. That's my own personal online marketing services. I provide services in all kinds of outreach activities, such as social media development, email marketing, online campaigns. I'm also a virtual assistant. I help people all over the world in managing accounts and communicating with their clients. So if there is something that you have in mind that you've been wanting to get done and maybe you've been putting it off to the side, give me a call. I'm willing to work with you. And it also helps keep Lauren L. of the High Desert going. So it's a win-win situation there. Some more information about Lauren L. of the High Desert. I do have an online store at this point in time at laurenlofthehighdesert.com, and I'm currently calling out for desert artists, authors, sculptors. If you have something that you would like to display online and sell, then please contact me, and I'm happy to list your item in the store and get some more information to you. You can email me at laurenlhighdesert@gmail.com. High is spelled H-I. LaurenLofthehighDesert.com is also looking for advertisers or sponsors. I'm willing to work out anything with businesses here in the area. And I'm even expanding out to businesses and organizations that really fall in line with my priorities. So if you're located down in the Salton Sea area and the Borrego, the Coachella Valley, I'm willing to speak with you. And I appreciate you reaching out to me. You can go to laurenlofthehighdesert.com and you can email me directly through the website. I'm kicking off the show today with a story coming from the Morongo Basin 100-Year Project, 1910 to 2010. This is a booklet that you can purchase. I purchased this one from the Old Schoolhouse in 29 Palms. It is published by the Morongo Basin Historical Society as well as the 29 Palms Historical Society. And this article I'm reading comes from the year 1946. The title is The Early Development of Pioneer Town. And here's what the article reads. In the mid-40s, Dick Curtis, an infamous Hollywood villain with a big heart, loaned $25 to an elderly woman to pay a doctor's bill. Unable to repay him, she gave him the deed to a small piece of property north of Los Angeles. Curtis later sold the property and invested the proceeds in some remote desert property. In 1946, he persuaded 17 partners to invest $500 each to form a corporation that would eventually hold 32,000 acres in and near what is now Pioneer Town. Curtis was joined by others, including Roy Rogers and the Sons of the Pioneers, for whom the town was named. Gene Autry played a pivotal role in the town's development by convincing Harriet Cohn that shooting westerns there would save money. In early September 1946, ground was broken for the first buildings. A school was built for the children and a bowling alley for recreation. More than 200 movies and television serials were filmed there, a busy place until the late 50s, when the demand for westerns began to diminish. Many commercials have been filmed there, as well as short films by college students working on degrees in cinematography. And that's how Pioneer Town came to be. I've actually been to the bowling alley since I've been coming up here for the past 20 years, and it's been open and closed, but the bowling alley is also an amazing location there, and I spoke to the woman who owned it temporarily, and she mentioned that the bowling alley is one of the oldest bowling alleys in the United States, and when the bowling alley was originally built, there was no automatic pin setters, which is what we see at bowling alleys today, and that there were actually little boys that would set up the pins and get paid to do that. So Pioneer Town is just a really fascinating place. It's one of my favorite places up here. So that's how we got Pioneer Town. Moving on to events happening in the High Desert. Everything slows down at this time of year because the holidays are happening. By the way, I hope everyone's been having a wonderful holiday season. I've had a lot of activities going on myself. And so it is a lot of organizations are lying low right now. But from what I've heard, there will be a Christmas party hosted at the Yucca Mesa Community Center on December 19th from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. This will be a lot of fun. I went last year. There's food, beverages, entertainment, and prizes. You can take photos of Santa. Last year, there was so much food. And in fact, the dessert, phenomenal. There were so many desserts to choose. I mean, you might think it's the Yucca Mesa Community Center. It's a small place, but believe me, last year there was a lot of food, and it's just always fun to meet people up at Yucca Mesa. Everyone's really nice, and they love to hear about what's the latest news, what's happening, and so that should be a lot of fun. On January 8th, this is after the New Year, there will be an old schoolhouse lecture. The topic is the Forgotten Gold Rush, and I do not have specific detail on this other than the speaker is Paul Smith, but if you would like to attend, it starts at 7 p.m., admission is $5, and this is at the Old School House in 29 Palms. Try to get there early because seats fill up. On January 15th, there is a Black Rock Lecture. The topic is the history of Joshua Tree National Park, and this is taking place at the Black Rock Ranger Station in Yucca Valley. The speaker is Joe Zarkey, who is a retired chief of interpretation. He will be discussing his new book on the history of Joshua Tree National Park, and this will start at 7 p.m., so mark your calendars for that. That's all I have at this point in time for the next few weeks here in the Morongo Basin, but if there's something coming up that fits with what I cover, such as desert conservation and local development news, then please let me know. I love covering the Mojave Desert Land Trust, Morongo Basin Conservation Association, Transition Joshua Tree, and related activities such as that. You can email me at laurenlhighdesert@gmail.com. Recent events that I attended the meeting that took place on December 5th in regards to off-road vehicle fees in discussion right now connected to the BLM, Bureau of Land Management. I've been hearing about this topic here and there for the past 6 months or longer than that, and it is a pretty involved topic when looking at the history of ORV options here in the Morongo Basin and nearby desert territories. There's been a long, ongoing process to determine land usage, who owns certain lands, and who can access these lands. And so right now, the BLM is in discussion of opening routes on BLM land. So it becomes open to off-road vehicles at this point in time. From my understanding, off-road vehicles cannot access the BLM routes right now. There is a policy in discussion right now that could open these routes. So this has been an ongoing discussion in the community because if it is said that if BLM routes become open, this will encourage off-road vehicles to ride onto private property as well as county property. And this opens up for many concerns in the area. People have different concerns. Many residents here are concerned about the peace and tranquility of their living location. There's concerns about dust being emitted into the air, also impact on wildlife and the type of crowd that may be encouraged to visit the area. So there was a comment period for the community to contact the BLM for a period of time about this issue. The deadline has been extended to January 25th, 2016. So I do have the website here. If you want to learn more about this, it's orvwatch.com. If you go there, you can find specific detail and maps that explain what the BLM is proposing, what the impacts could be. There's also information about who to contact at the BLM. You can contact ORV Watch directly, and they're happy to send you more information about it. So this meeting had a really good turnout. It was at the United Methodist Church in Joshua Tree. Again, this was on December 5th, started at 2 p.m. And there were various representatives there. I didn't get to stay for the entire meeting. I didn't collect names on who was there speaking. But there was a pretty elaborate presentation given that explained the history of route development and land usage development here in the Morongo Basin. And I was surprised that it's been an ongoing, I would say, battle for quite some time. It was said that in 1980, BLM wrote a plan about how to manage land, and this included route designation, which was critical. And there are different areas, such as limited areas, multiple use, conservation areas, etc. And you would think that routes would have been determined back at that time, but that's not what happened. It's really somewhat new within the past 10 to 15 years that there has been more serious discussion about land usage in this area. In 2003, there was an environmental assessment conducted where federal agencies had to disclose decisions to be made and the kind of impact that land usage would have. There was talk about habitat conservation. The BLM proposed 10,000 miles of routes, and this was interesting to me. It was said that in 2000, BLM had proposed 5,000 miles of routes in the desert region. But in 2009, when they came back to the same topic, 10,000 miles were proposed. So they doubled the proposition there for the amount of miles for off-road vehicles and other types of people visiting the area. I will just sum this up and say that this is a pretty involved topic if you start to get into the specifics of it, because there's just so many different groups involved, from BLM to county, and there's also, as I pointed out, different types of land that are broken down according to, yes, this land is accessible by anybody, or this land is conservation land. It can get a bit tedious. So again, if you go to orvwatch.com, you can find people on there who specialize in this, and they can tell you all that you need to know about it. But I wanted to emphasize that the comment period on this topic is January 25th, 2016. So contact BLM and let them know what you think, because this has been a relatively quiet topic. It has been getting more word here in the desert over the past few months from my observation, however. On December 5th, I also hosted an event, just to let you know. This was experimental with the Beatnik Lounge. I hosted DJ Kitten Cat's Dark Party. And this was a side project of mine where I am DJ Kitten Cat, just to let you know. I am very interested in certain kinds of music from the 1980s to today, electronic synthesized music. And so I hosted a party at the Beatnik Lounge on December 5th and invited a friend of mine to come out and DJ that night. And it was a lot of fun because it was at the Beatnik Lounge, which the Beatnik Lounge has really become this community location. And it's a very versatile location that can host so many events, from art gallery showings to music events to live performances to discussions, seminars, workshops. There's all kinds of events that take place there. So I got to host my event there, and it was a lot of fun. I put work into the lighting, and I just wanted to share that with you. And I want to give a shout out to the Beatnik Lounge. All the proceeds that we got went to the Beatnik Lounge, and I also want to give a big thank you to Pie for the People, because they did donate some food, so that was very sweet of them. And Pie for the People has just been really great. They've contributed to so many community events, and I know that they're a big location for visitors in the area and locals as well. So thank you again, Pie for the People. Moving on to more news that I've come across as of recent. I was actually briefing through the No Dollar General in Joshua Tree Facebook page, and there was a post put up by David Fick, who is a Joshua Tree resident, back on November 17th. So this is an actually dated article, but he did copy and paste it from Z1077. It was published on November 17th, 2015, and the title says battle lines unclear in Joshua Tree, Dollar General. So I just wanted to read the article to you really quick. The effort to stop the construction of a Dollar General retail store at Sunburst and the highway in Joshua Tree still goes on, with legal challenges slowly moving their way through the court system. Reporter Mike Lipsitz has the latest in the legal maneuvering. In the on-again, off-again battle over the proposed Dollar General in Joshua Tree, the battle lines are often anything but clear. Last week, Dollar General developers asked that a review of the environmental impact report be pulled from the County Board of Supervisors' December 15th agenda. It appears the cart was getting ahead of the horse. The project was blocked earlier this year when Joshua Tree Downtown Business Alliance successfully challenged the development, or at least halted it, pending on evaluation based on California Environmental Quality Act requirements. That ruling is also under appeal, with a decision unlikely before this spring. Dollar General developers may have thought better of devoting too many resources to the project in advance of the appeals court decision. So how long until this battle is settled? That's anybody's guess. That has been stated before by local residents that the Dollar General issue at this point in time is out in quote-unquote limbo, because as we read here, the Dollar General developers have taken out the primary topic of discussion at this upcoming supervisor meeting. The latest, that was back in November 17th, though. I had skipped over that. I didn't see that until now, so I'm just sharing it with you, for those of you who like to keep up with that. Here's a more recent story that got a lot of talk, which this story is published by Z1077.com on December 9th, 2015. The Yucca Valley Planning Commission approved revised landscape plan. So there is a housing project that is proposed in Yucca Valley, and the parcel of land is on Sage and Golden Bee. It is said that there's a possibility that approximately 500 Joshua trees can be impacted. This has been a topic of discussion for many residents who are concerned about Joshua trees being replanted. It is said that Joshua trees have a hard time surviving after being replanted, so people had concerns over this subject, but it stated that Planning Commission approved the landscape plan. It was interesting because it said that there were various studies done. It said, here's what the article reads. A native plant survey done in 2009 showed 859 Joshua trees on the new housing development at Sage and Golden Bee with 517 yuccas. Developer Bill Schack presented the landscape plan to the Planning Commission in December 2014, identifying 790 Joshua trees that were likely to survive relocation, with a minimum of 525 that were to be relocated back on the site. In February, a new native plant survey was conducted, which found only 298 Joshua trees, of which only 210 were likely to survive transplantation. That was a big dump once. I was surprised to see that there was a study that was conducted in 2009 stating that there were 859 Joshua trees on the property, but a recent study says there were 298 Joshua trees. And it was said that someone did ask, why was there such a difference in the number of Joshua trees? And the primary reason that was put forth was that there's been a drought that has caused many trees to die. And so there was a request for another study or survey to be conducted, but the Planning Commission said that is a waste of time, and they voted in favor of the progress of this housing or landscape plan to go through. It was voted 3-1. Sorry, it's coming from Z1077. Some more local news. I thought this was kind of cool. The windmills in North Palm Springs were recently lit up. This story is coming from the Desert Sun, published on December 9, 2015. The Palm Springs windmill tours, at the company based in Palm Springs lit up the wind turbines for 4 hours using color energy efficient LED lights for their holiday open house. It was only for 4 hours, but it is said that they are planning to hopefully next year keep the wind turbines lit for 2 weeks. And it's also said that they are talking about lighting the wind turbines for 4th of July and other special holidays. I didn't see it personally, but I remember over 10 years ago when I forget what the name of the movie was, but it had Tom Cruise in it. Mission Impossible, I think. Don't quote me on that though. But they were filming an action scene at the wind turbines in the Coachella Valley or in the Palm Springs area, and they actually had huge lights, white lights pointing up at the wind turbine. So while this action scene's taking place in a helicopter, you can see the wind turbines in the background. And I thought it was the coolest thing to see the wind turbines lit up at night. And later on, I did see that particular part of the film, and it was really cool to see my home basically in the movie because I grew up in Desert Hot Springs, so the wind turbines were always in my view when I was growing up. And so I think this is really cool to turn on lights for the wind turbines. It was said that the primary concern is that the wind turbines, when they're lit up, they cause traffic jams because people slow down to look at them, but it said that roads in the area have been widened, so it shouldn't be such a problem. Finally, here's an article coming from the San Diego Tribune. It was published on December 9, 2015, and the title is Key Land Purchase Connects Two State Parks. I love hearing this kind of news, but this isn't in the Morongo Basin. It is in the Anza Borrego area, more south. Let me brief over the article really quick. A nonprofit conservation group has purchased the final piece of property in its decades-long effort to preserve a huge expanse of backcountry near the Laguna Mountains. The 1,130-acre parcel, part of the Lucky Five Ranch, was acquired by the Anza Borrego Foundation as part of the group's and the state park system's long-held dream to connect the Laguna Mountains, the Anza Borrego Desert State Park, and Cuyamaca Rancho State Park. The purchase creates an uninterrupted wildlife habitat between two jewels of the state park system. Located southwest of Sunrise Highway, roughly 4 miles from the intersection with State Route 79, the property will eventually become part of the ever-expanding Anza Borrego Desert State Park, already the largest state park in the contiguous United States. Well, I did not know Anza Borrego is the largest state park in the U.S. 15 years ago, we developed this vision of connecting Anza Borrego to Cuyamaca based on what was then the new science of conservation biology, said Dave Van Cleve, a foundation trustee and a former state park district superintendent. Conservationists realized that an uninterrupted link between the two massive parks was crucial because it would provide a place where animals and plants could adapt in relatively short distance, a place where they could escape up the mountains and down the mountain to adapt to change in climate and temperatures, he said. The state park system had long been coveting the Lucky Five Ranch property, which was first homesteaded in the 1860s. They've been trying to get it for about 50 years because it is key property, one that needs to be protected and provides corridors which otherwise would be blocked off, said Ralph Singer, a former president of the foundation who was involved in the acquisition recently as well as 15 years ago of other parks of the ranch. Over the years, efforts to buy the land failed as budgets rose and fell, and land acquisition priorities shifted. In 2001, fueled by the offer of a $2 million private donation, the Anza Borrego Foundation cobbled together federal and state grants, along with the foundation funds, to purchase 2,675 acres, or 63% of the ranch. The land was then transferred to the state and became part of the desert park. The final acquisition completed last week for about $3 million brings the rest of the ranch into the fold. This article is on laurenelleofthehighdesert.com's Facebook page. So if you want to see maps of this area that I'm talking about, then you can go to this link and see where exactly it's located. But that was a big win. That's quite a bit of money going towards that piece of property, approximately $3 million brought that in. But congratulations to the foundations down there and the people who have been putting up a conservation effort. I love hearing about land that's been purchased, everything from down by Anza Borrego to, I always forget the name of the pass, but at the base of the Palm Springs Tram, that was also a big win for the bighorn sheep. That area was purchased by a conservation group because there was a developer who wanted to build a massive five-star hotel at the base of the tram, and I was just devastated to hear that. So that was a big win there, and then obviously Mojave Desert Land Trust constantly has big wins up here in the area. So congratulations again. Very exciting. That's all I have for now. I'll just close off by saying that I went to an aerial silk course down in North Palm Springs. There is a new location there. Some of you may have heard of it. It's called Desert Rocks, and it's an indoor climbing facility, and it's actually really cool. There's different walls that you can try and climb, and there's pieces on the walls to challenge you, and you can choose what difficulty level. But there's also aerial silk courses that have initiated. Perhaps some of you have heard about aerial silks. The first time I heard about or really acknowledged aerial silks was in Los Angeles. It's somewhat like a Cirque du Soleil performance, acrobatic climbing material. But I'm very excited to say that these courses began in North Palm Springs because so many of these types of activities, like dance classes and related activities, are more in the Coachella Valley, like Cathedral City, Palm Desert, and that's really out of the way for many people up here in the high desert. So to have these courses in North Palm Springs, it's just right off the freeway. It's a really easy drive to get there. So if you would like to know more about that, then just contact me, and I'm happy to share more with you. And again, that's all I have. So if there's anything that I missed, anything that you feel I should bring up, then please contact me, LaurenellaBehindDesert.com, and you can message me directly through my website. Thank you, everyone, for the support. I'm very excited about the end of the year and to move forward in 2016. And I also want to add that I am planning to relocate in March of 2016. That's my current projection. I am looking for desert stewards who are willing to write about events in this area. It doesn't have to be incredibly extravagant, but if you go to a lecture series or you attend a MAC meeting, if you are interested in writing a couple paragraphs about the event or snapping a few photos, then I really appreciate that. You can contact me to learn more about that, and I'm willing to teach you everything you need to know. Thanks a lot, and I hope you have a wonderful week.